Well, good afternoon, everybody. How are you doing today? It's a good, nice afternoon. So I am excited to have you join us today. I am Sarah George. I work with Renewing the Countryside. I'm the farmer-focused program manager at Renewing the Countryside. And today you're going to hear a little bit about our farmers market food hubs and the way that we can create connections in communities in working in aggregating product from multiple farmers to make local food sales much easier for you to do. So, let's see if we can get started. So first, let's start off with what is a farmers market food hub? I am the market manager for the Red Wing Area Farmers Market. And as the market manager, I would see my vendors with all kinds of product coming to the farmers market, showing up, and they had so much beautiful product available. See, I was also the market manager for the Wabasha Market and a vendor as well. So I personally farm on 11 and a half acres in Pepin, Wisconsin, where I do farm to school, farm to hospital, and farm to restaurant, and then these two farmers markets. One thing as a market manager that I was noticing is that my vendors had a lot of beautiful produce. At the end of the day, they would take their arm across their table and swoop it all into a 5-gallon pail to bring home and feed the pigs. It made me sick because this produce was just available for sale for members of our community. And I just thought of all the time that they put into growing that food, harvesting that food, and getting it clean and put up on the table, and then to go home and bring it to the pigs made me feel like a really bad market manager. And I wanted to see ways that I could build capacity in my personal community in making those local food connections with maybe, you know what, there's so many institutions looking for local food. How can we build this up and make them buy that food at the end of the day? I reached out to Jane Jewett at the Minnesota Institute of Sustainable Agriculture, Kathy Zeman at the Minnesota Farmers Market Association, and Jan at Renewing the Countryside, and said, look, this is a situation that I'm dealing with. How can we make this so this is possible? And we met with the Minnesota has a really great team called LFAC, so it's the Local Food Advisory Committee. They get together and they talk about all things local food. So they sat down and tried to figure out ways that we could create aggregation or create a food hub at a farmer's market. Full disclosure, I had been running a food hub. I had a local school come to me. They wanted to make some local purchases, and I thought, let's make this happen. And when I was running that food hub, I was asking, like, can we do anything to make it so I can make this easier, like getting a walk-in cooler? And I reached out to SHIP, the Statewide Health Improvement Partnership. And when I did that, I found out that what I was doing at the farmers market was completely illegal. I had been operating a food hub, completely illegal, for almost 2 years. In order to aggregate produce, you have to have a license in the state of Minnesota. And when my licensor came out, he said, I have nothing to inspect. And if I don't have anything to inspect, I can't give you a license. He wanted me to have he didn't care if what he was inspecting. He didn't care if it was a 2-foot by 2-foot building that I never opened the door to. He needed something to inspect, you guys. So I went to the local food advisory committee and I said, how does having a 2-foot by 2-foot building make this food safer? And we worked with the University of Minnesota for their food safety team, the Department of Agriculture, the Department of Health. We went to the Minnesota Institute of Sustainable Agriculture and others, and we're like, okay, this is where into play, and here's how we can make this so that this is a licensable activity that you can do at a farmer's market. So what happens with a food hub is I, market manager, would, or any of you, if you're managing a market or creating a collaboration in your community, you have all these relations with your farmers. We're already at a farmer's market. The vision was to do this at a market where the farmers are already going. So we have all the collaboration with a farmer's market, but now we're starting to develop relations with members of our community. So we, the Food Hub, are in the middle kind of having that communication with both the farmers and the managers, or the community, the buyers in our community, schools, hospitals, restaurants, and individuals in the community. What we do is the farmers are going to put up, you see the farmer has a dollar on the left side of the screen up there. The farmers are going to list whatever price they want for the food that they need to move in their community. And the schools, hospitals, and restaurants are going to see that commodity at $1.18. So the farmers market is actually getting an 18% markup on this one. But that's kind of the gist of what we're looking at here today. You're going to hear some examples, not only of markets that are doing this, but also of community support that's taken place. Wabasha Farmers Market was the first farmers market in the state of Minnesota to receive the wholesale food handler's license in 2017. We were actually doing things legally at that time. It's all good. It's all good. But this was a really big day to celebrate. The reason that we wanted to celebrate is that I'm not a quiet person, and we wanted others to do it in our community. But before we did that, we had a lot things to consider, things like licensing and inspections and policies and insurance. And so we wanted to create a guide of ways that we can make this so that others can replicate this throughout their community. As we did that, I'm going to wait on that one. We then applied for a specialty crop block grant. And with this specialty crop block grant, we did it in 18, 19, and 20 to see if we could replicate this at markets all across the state of Minnesota. And we have a lot of lessons learned at these states, but why did we choose to work with farmers markets? We have had 5 brick-and-mortar food hubs, brick-and-mortar meaning they have buildings. They have buildings out there. So food hubs that actually have a facility they're working in are opening. They get grant funded for that open, and they're closing as fast as they're opening. In that course of 6 years, we had 5 food hubs open, use lots of grant funding, and then die. And you know what? Anybody that's out there applying for grants know that it's like Hunger Games when you're out there applying for grants. Man, we're all fighting for the same dollar. Let's work together and see if we can find ways that we can collaborate in our communities and build capacity and make it so that our farmers can be more successful in their community. So why are these brick and mortars not working? It's so much investment to build upon a facility. As a farmer myself, I always, anybody that's listened to me in a presentation has heard, I always talk about how it takes a hell of a lot of radishes to make a house payment. Imagine trying to pay off a brick and mortar facility off of the overage of those radishes. It's really complicated. Marketing is a lot of effort. You need volunteers in the community. There's so much complexity to a food hub. You have to have relations with the community, with the farmers. You have to have relations with the buyers. You're going to have relations with those funders in the community, those grantees. And then the sales don't come in as fast as you had envisioned them to be coming in. And so these brick and mortars are just closing as fast as they're getting opened. So we decided we wanted to try this, pilot it at farmers markets all throughout the state. So last year we had, this is just last year's update, I wanted you to have a more recent map, but we have 10 farmers market food hubs located throughout the state of Minnesota. Recently the Mankato one has stepped out of the picture again, but the rest of these hubs are doing a fantastic job out in the community. There's a lot of benefits for aggregating in a community. Some of those benefits are for our farmers. You know, they're increasing their sales. They're learning new market channels. But interestingly enough, there's some added value benefits in there because we, at the hub level, are now bringing in training. Like, we're bringing in GAPS or food safety training for them. We're teaching them about water testing and about produce standards so that they understand ways that they can experience new things in their community. There's benefits for our markets because farmers want to be part of a market that has more than just retail sales setting up one day a week for 4 hours or 8 hours a day. What if your farmer's market was actually promoting these sales to schools, hospitals, and restaurants in the community? It's really bringing added value. And our markets are actually understanding food regulations. We don't want anybody else doing it illegally like I was in the beginning. So we're teaching on that. Like, here's the rules and regs, guys. So that they understand ways to do that. And they're kind of now the go-to in the community to make it happen. But it's a really big benefit for our buyers because now our farmers market become a one-stop shop. Our buyers are used to things like Bix and Cisco or Indian Head, where they can order everything that they need for the week and have a delivery one time right to their door, and they know who they need to call if anything's wrong. They don't know how to reach all the different farmers in our community, but this allows them to meet a whole slew of farmers all at one time. So it's an amazing opportunity to make this happen. It's also a benefit for our communities because we're increasing the access to healthy local foods in our communities, and it's an amazing opportunity. Lots of farmers are beginning to engage throughout community efforts because of this, and it's really an awesome thing to happen in our communities. And because we're virtual, because we're doing this at a farmer's market, we don't have any storage available. So we're doing this all online. We're not sitting on any inventory. Our farmers are listing on an online sales platform what they have available for sale, how much of that they have, what price they need for that. And then they are listing this for our buyers to actually see. This here is Open Food Network. And what you're able to do is log in. Sign up for our log into the platform, and you can actually put basil from Allison's farm over here and order basil from Allison's farm, and you can order chicken from Jane's farm, and you can order garlic from John's farm, and put it all in one shopping cart with one easy checkout and one simple and have one delivery to your door, and it's done. Keep in mind, this doesn't just have to involve your individual or your wholesale accounts. So maybe it's adding to your retail accounts as well. You can have this for individuals in your community. Every one of our hubs is different. So here's what it can look like. I have a few slides so you can see kind of what to expect and what it looks like. In Red Wing, this is during COVID. We had a drive-through in the bottom level of a parking ramp. And in this parking ramp, they just pre-ordered what they wanted from the farmer's market. They weren't confident enough to go shopping at the market, which is fine. So they could pre-order. They would hold up a sign that showed their order number in their window. There was no contact. We put the bag in the back seat. They prepaid online, and it was done. Same thing in Wabasha. We did a pre-order. This walk-in cooler that you see, that trailer you see behind me, that's actually a walk-in cooler that was supported with funding from the Statewide Health Improvement Partnership, or SHIP, in Minnesota. But this is another opportunity. So we didn't even have a farmer's market. We just had a refrigerated trailer and a drive-through in a parking lot. Up in Aiken, this is Aiken, they expanded their winter market. So instead of having the vendors sit outside in the wintertime and do a farmer's market, they had pre-order drive-through for a winter market. We did a lot. So we started this in 2016 and 2017. I did it illegally. 2018, I had the license. I know, I say it. You got to say it, right? 2018, we had the license. So we were doing this before COVID. We began, talking about ways that we can begin doing this for COVID and started doing national presentations on how other farmers markets could pivot to online sales for COVID. And this is what happened. Lessons learned, farmers were hesitant to get on board. Buyers didn't want to order weekly, so the farmers weren't updating their inventory. But then COVID hit. And let me tell you, this thing took off. But come 2021, people were clawing at the doors to get back into the farmers market sales to pick their own produce. And so we saw those numbers decline again, and we're like, okay, what can we do to get back to those COVID numbers? So we did things like market share boxes, which is like aggregated CSAs. We increased our institutional sales, and then we did VeggieRx, so prescribing boxes in our community. Each of our hubs, each of our farmers markets, did things differently. We have multiple vendors aggregating and had lots of ways that we could begin doing this in our community. Here is one market share box for you to peek at. Here's some market share boxes from Grand Rapids, Minnesota. They're delivering a whole bunch of CSA boxes. This is the, you know, having that Veggie RX. What it's given us is the opportunity to make a lot of connections in our community. We connected with state staff, incubator farms, so that we could access that produce and start working with individuals out there that didn't have existing connections, but also other food hubs. We began working with other food hubs that are out there. The more connections you make, the stronger you can become. Here are some of the programs that took place at each of our different hubs last year. Farm to school, Veggie RX, so that prescription, working with your hospital. But it wasn't always with the hospital. It was interesting. So there's lots of creative ways there. And then, of course, those market share boxes. And I'm going to let Allison do a lot of explaining. For you, I just want to share a little bit about what this looked like in the background. So Renewing the Countryside and MFMA, the Minnesota Institute of Sustainable Agriculture, myself, Kathy, Jane, and Jan are up in the middle. We're the state team, but our hubs had access to not only the MDA, so the Department of Agriculture, and also we have somebody doing some research on the backside, Pesh, who does financial analysis the sustainability of this. And we're doing a lot of research. Is this helping our farmers? Is it helping our communities? What is the break-even point for our hubs? And then we have some communication happening. I feel like that always seems to be the hardest part, is that communication and pushing it out there. But within our hubs, they have access to the state team as well. But here you could have both a market manager, so your market manager works with the household customers and your farmers, but a hub manager who's doing those schools, hospitals, and restaurants and making those local food connections. That could be the same person. It just depends on what that community looks like. And on the right side, we build community into this. And in our community, we're really focusing on the statewide health improvement partnership. But it doesn't have to just be SHIP. I just want to raise awareness. They have access to things like the hunger relief and the social services and public health and WIC and can help bring them into place. I'd love to invite you to follow us on our Farmers Market Food Hub website, or this is our Facebook page. We also have a website. And I'm going to hand it over to Allison to talk about what it looks like in the community.
I'm really impressed, Sarah. You did a great job keeping to your time. Sarah's our talker, and we were both really happy to just let Sarah talk. But okay, is this a little, okay, so that's a little pointer. Okay, so I'm Allison Ryan. I'm the hub manager for the Aiken Farmers Market, and I'm also a farmer. My husband is here supporting me in the audience, and we have a diversified vegetable farm in Aiken County that's in north central Minnesota. And I came on as the hub manager in fall of 2019, and I had no idea what I was getting into and what was going to happen, or what, like, somebody that I really admired called me on the phone and said, hey, I heard you're maybe at loose ends. Do you want to do this? And that person was Jane Jewett with the Minnesota Institute for Sustainable Agriculture. And I'm like, well, sure. And I'm still here. And it's been quite a ride. So I just want to talk about community building and to give you examples of what's been working in Aiken. What I really want to stress is that what's working in Aiken or other communities may not be the best fit for you. You are the best placed in your community to build this out and find your partners and get started, because every community is different. I was really inspired by Michael Abelman. He's the author of a book called Street Farm, and he's also written other books. And I saw him speak at the Minnesota Organic Conference one year, and he said, it's a danger to think you know what other people need. And I think about that in my work all the time. Is this what the people in my community need, or is it what I think they need? I need to go out and ask them, and I need to find out if, you know, I need to adjust. I need to find the partners. The partners in the community know what the community needs. It's not just about me. And it's certainly not about what works in Aiken County for you. So, okay. Ha. All right, you've already seen this. Sarah touched on this, but I do want to compare this, the farmer's market food hub model, with the farmer price, the markup, and then the buyer price, with some data from the farmers union. You can see that, you know, these cuts out for the farmer out of the retail price, the consumer price, are much, much different. And this is the conventional market stream. So that's just, you know, wanting to compare what you can do locally to cut out some of that middleman. I think these numbers are really significant to just look at and reflect on. All right, this is a kind of a pitch I created when we were first getting started, and I presented this to my farmers market board and farmers market membership. Sarah already talked about some of these things, like what aggregation can do, and then what we can do next as we're starting to build up. So reach markets that are difficult for individual producers to meet, and that would be institutions, CSAs, farm-to-table, and online customers. Community building, and more sales. And we'll just have more sales, more producers, more customers, and more community as we start to build this up. I'm going to focus on community building and partnerships. Whoops, wrong button. Okay. This is my 2023 year in review. I don't know why the slides, everybody's slides kind of, some of the pictures and the text got all kind of messed up. So what is this supposed to say? Over here, my partners, Renewing the Countryside, obviously that's the grant holder and MFMA and MISA. We also work really closely with the Grand Rapids Farmers Market Hub. We're really close together geographically. Minnesota Grown helps us a lot. We had a SNAP Ed educator come and do some food demos. And then, so over here with community partners, we've got SHIP. CARE is a senior services nonprofit in Aiken, and they've been really helpful and supportive getting food to seniors that need it and supporting other programs at the market. Riverwood Healthcare Center is our local hospital. What do these community partners provide? They provide grant dollars, time, volunteers, relationships, support, advertising, printing, like really a lot of stuff in the community. My community partners do for me. And that leaves me time to farm and do my hub, like do the buying and the selling. This year we had 19 producers that I purchased from through the hub and then resold. And plus I also worked closely with Grand Rapids Farmers Market Hub. And so some of their hub farmers I ended up buying food from, and we did some transportation. And then there's some grants down here. Okay, so here's the numbers for sales in the calendar year of 2023 and our different income streams, market streams. So farm to school, our Aiken School District did get a farm to school grant, and they buy a lot of proteins, and those are big buck sales, and that's really great. This is Sam. He's the elementary school food service lead, and he's standing here with his automatic chopper that SHIP bought for them. So SHIP actually, Aiken County SHIP owns this machine and said, you can use this as long as you buy local food. And it's a really great partnership. They signed a memorandum of understanding that that they would get this machine. Otherwise, if they buy local food, they have to chop everything by hand. And they don't want to do that. They don't have time. That's just the reality of it. So he's got a big smile on his face. He loves that machine. He can do like potatoes for mashed potatoes in 15 minutes. The boxes and the shares and the other sort of retail things that I do, a lot of this money is from our VeggieRx. I do sell a market share at the farmers market retail, and that's, I mean, a fraction of what VeggieRx is doing for us. This is a pretty significant number, and when I added all this up, I had to do, like, I added it three times. I'm like, there's no way this can be right. Okay, so through the years, we have how much we've grown. And that's just unprecedented growth. And I don't even know. I'm baffled. Like, I don't even know how it happens. but it's grants. I mean, there's no way we made all this farm-to-school sales or these VeggieRx sales without these grants. But I don't care where the money comes from. All this money's going back to our farmers and helping us run our hub, and I just think it's awesome. So here's also some of our restaurants that buy from us, and then an example of some of our products. These are just a few slides showing how the three northern hubs, this is Aiken, Grand Rapids, and Virginia, we moved a whole bunch of apples. And this is really a credit to Willa Lynn. She's the Grand Rapids hub manager, and how she coordinated. These are her photos, and she's just a great photographer. How she coordinated moving apples from an orchard in Aiken County all through the Northland to schools for the Great Lakes Apple Crunch Day. Look at all these apples that went in one day from Aiken all the way around the Northland, so that these elementary school students could have an apple on Apple Crunch Day. And like, the thing with Apple Crunch Day is all the kids have an apple, and like, you count down to the time where you're going to crunch the apple. And so the whole, like, all the kids and all the schools go crunch at the same time. That's the Great Apple Crunch. So I just want to show you how the hubs can work together to move food where it needs to go, because we're so remote. And when Aiken has food, Grand Rapids doesn't have food. When Grand Rapids has food, Aiken doesn't have food. So we try to, like, move it around, and it's still local. Okay. We have a lot going on at the market with partners and food access, as well as through the hub. So these are our script programs at the market. And so we do take EBT. We have Market Bucks and Market Produce Bucks. That's a hunger solutions thing. I don't know if that's just Minnesota that does that. Okay. So these are extra bucks when people scan their EBT card. They get more money to spend at the market through this grant with Hunger Solutions. And then our POP cards. POP stands for Power of Produce. We have a kids program, and Riverwood Healthcare Center sponsors the kids to get this coupon. And then we also have a senior coupon, and Aiken County Care sponsors that. And then we had Riverwood Bucks, and that's part of the VeggieRx. And there'll be a little bit more about that as we go. So these are It's a significant value of pass-through dollars for our vendors. You know, that's what they got paid during the market season in 2003 because of partners and Hunger Solutions. Oops. Okay. So Riverwood Healthcare Center this is the first year of a 3-year GUSNIP grant for VeggieRx. This is Rachel Johnson. She's the Population Health Program Manager at Riverwood. And she's just been pioneering this VeggieRx program. And I'm really lucky that Riverwood wanted to work with us. And so if it wasn't for all the, like, Aiken County Care supporting us through a couple of years with doing senior boxes and just like really low-level sales at the farmers market for retail boxes, we would not have been ready to work with Riverwood. So it was all those, it was these years, right, that we were working so hard and making so little that we gained all the experience and we were just so well placed to work with Riverwood when they got this grant. You know, so it's like, it's totally worth it for those struggles. And I was also really grateful for SHIP, our SHIP coordinator, when she heard that Riverwood was getting this grant and going to work with a VeggieRx. She said, Aiken Farmers Market Hub already does this. And if you work with Aiken Farmers Market Hub, you don't have to do that part. So that's where the partnership really comes, is that they do the grant, they do the dietitian stuff, they do the health stuff, and I do the food. And that means we're not repeating that work. Working with Riverwood and Rachel, I'm learning all about social determinants of health. So social determinants of health are non-medical factors that influence health outcomes. And I think that's something that this demographic here in this room talks about and thinks about a lot, right? We're organic farmers. We are so interested in health that and what food can do for health. So Riverwood did this community health assessment and assessed 1,352 unique patients. That is more than half of the city population of Aiken. So obviously not the county, it's a big county, but just thinking about how many patients Riverwood assessed and how that compares to like how big our community is, like that's a lot of people. That's a lot of patients. And what these patients said was that support for food was their biggest concern when it came to health and safety and what they're able to afford. And then affordable and stable housing is next. And that is not a surprise. Not for me and what I observe. Here's a slide that Riverwood made for one of their presentations, and I just stole it. So here's an example of a winter CSA box or Food RX box that we did. And this is all local food. This came from a big organic farm near Duluth. And because we were able to order so much, they delivered. And yeah, 5 minutes left for my portion. I'm getting there. So, and this is like this Food RX. This is like a kiosk with how people can self-evaluate and sign up for the program and whatnot. And there's a bunch of pictures. Okay, so when you look at Aiken's food sales relative to the income and poverty statistics, our food dollars mean more to our families and our farmers. Jane Jewett with MISA, she's the one that said Aiken's really punching above its weight. And so there's some mathy stuff here that I really hope that I explain well. These are some of our food hub communities. Here's our populations and our median household income and poverty rates for total and children. So you'll observe that Aiken is the smallest city, the smallest county, and the smallest median household income. The poverty statistics are pretty interesting when you start looking at these versus income and population. I can't really draw any conclusions about that, but I mean, we got a lot of kids living in poverty in the northern region, even because Grand Rapids isn't very far away from us, and then Virginia's the next, the most northern community. Oh, you know what I forgot to mention? Sorry. I can't forget this. So Riverwood received a Minnesota Hospital Association Award for their Food RX and a Minnesota Rural Health Team Award by the Minnesota Department of Health. So I just want to point out that those things are recognizable and they're really starting to be valued at another level, not just locally and with farmers, but starting to go up the chain to the government and other levels. So these sales look different because our grant year is from October 1st to September 30th. So this is not the calendar year sales I showed you before, but I had to stick with these numbers because they were normalized across all the hubs. So you'll see Aiken is not selling the most, not making the most sales, but when we adjust those sales with the median household income and population and poverty rate, you can see that this is why we say our food dollars mean more to our families and our farmers, is that we're really making more of an impact even though our sales is not the highest of the food hubs. Jane explains this way better than I do, but I hope that's understandable, and I can certainly try to answer questions later. Okay, I like to end with this slide because this is really what's at the core of my mission and my vocation, is more local food on local plates. And however it is we're doing that, it doesn't matter. I mean, let's just do it. Let's find what works in your community and let's get that local food on those local plates, because that's where we're going to keep our dollars in our community. And then I'm just starting to add this slide because going back to those social determinants of health, like food security really starts with housing security. And because if you don't have a safe place to live, you can't think about how you're going to cook vegetables. What if you have to move and you don't have a sharp chef's knife? What if you only have, what if you have a stove in your rental and the oven doesn't work and you only have a cooktop? Or, you know, adequate and safe housing is really number one, because we can't cook healthy food if we don't have a place to do it. So that's my next soapbox. So I'm going to turn it over to Tina, and thank you.
Good job.
Here's your dealie if you need that.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Tina Mohn. I'm a Statewide Health Improvement Partnership Coordinator, otherwise known as SHIP, which those two have talked about a few times during this presentation. That's a state-funded, out of Minnesota Department of Health, grant-funded position, and we work locally to increase access to physical activity, healthy eating, well-being, and commercial tobacco-free environments. Sarah. And you can see here that we work in all these different areas. So this is a nice story map of kind of what we're doing across the state of Minnesota. Can you hear me now? I apologize. So, there's one or more SHIP coordinator in each county in the state of Minnesota. I happen to be in Wabasha County, you can see in the bottom right. And with that, I am in a small county, so I work in all of these context areas. But today we're focusing on Minnesota Eats. And so with Minnesota Eats, we work with farmers markets, increase to things like food hubs, aggregation, and power of produce. And we work with schools to increase access to things like Apple Crunch you mentioned earlier, and to increase healthy food in the cafeteria, to increase healthy breakfast, healthy snacks, and also healthy food curriculum. And we work with food shelves to work towards becoming super shelves, making it like a shopping experience at the food shelf. And we work with Food RX, like with hospitals, to implement Food RX. And we also work to increase things like eating healthy vending, healthy cafeteria food, healthy when you bring food into your place for meetings and things like that, and also support for breastfeeding. Okay, so here's a timeline, and this is my work in Wabasha County with Minnesota Eats, not all of it, but it has to do with Food Hub in some way. In 2014 is when I started my position in this role, and Sarah George, this girl right here, she reached out to me, and she's not shy, in case you didn't notice. She reached out to me, and she wanted to learn how SHIP could collaborate with the farmers market. I think I put an article in the paper, you know, we might have some funding, we can provide technical assistance, we can provide different tools and resources. So she reached right out to me, and the relationship began, and here I am, 10 years later. All right, so then in 2015, another contract with SHIP in Wabasha to start a wholesale food handler's license or food aggregation. She needed that wholesale food handler's license. Well, she wanted to do it legally at this point, so. So anyway, she started the process, and it took a few years. I have it under 2016 that she actually, but she showed it earlier. She actually got it in 2017, so sorry about that. Anyway, then she started this food access network. She said, we want to promote our farmers market. We want to get all these people together. And so we're going to meet, and anyone interested, it was called, the agenda was EBT Champions Unite. And so that was our first meeting. And it was such a great group, and we continued it. We're still doing it today, only I've been facilitating those meetings ever since. Thanks for more work, Sarah. No, I appreciate it. Great opportunity. And then in 2017, we contracted with Wabasha Farmers Market for the startup of POP and WIC benefits. And then we also helped with that CoolBot trailer that you saw a picture of earlier when Sarah mentioned that. And then in 2018, we contracted with the Farmers Market again for a food hub sales platform. And then we also helped a couple of some schools along the way, and one of them was the one that you mentioned, the first one, where they were getting food illegally, I think. But it worked. And we were helping on the other end for that, and so we helped with a food cart and food processor and some things like that. And then we started to work with Renewing the Countryside. I believe Sarah was starting to do a little more work with them at that point, and she dragged me along again. But through that, we worked on supporting farm-to-child care activities. I was already instructing classes with my role to child care providers on healthy eating, physical activity, and things like that, and so it worked out good. And then in 2019, we continued to promote and support food aggregation, but I couldn't find any way looking back in the history of how we funded it. But we're always promoting things through Facebook page, website, e-news, and So 2021 was when we signed a three-year match agreement with Renewing the Countryside, who Sarah works for full-time, and they had about eight other counties or SHIP coordinators involved, and we're still going through it. It ends September, this funding cycle. Anyway, and so it's been a great process, and I'll tell you more about that in the next slide, what SHIP's role was in that, but just shows how important it is to collaborate. And then we contracted with Gunderson St. Elizabeth's Medical Center for the startup of FoodRx, which also helps to support the food hub. And then we contracted with another school for a salad bar and a snack cooler, which I'll show you later. And currently we're working with a level four behavioral school where they're not able to go to mainstream school, and they're receiving, with SHIP dollars, support on starting food hub ordering, salad bar, food storage, and food preparation tools. Okay. So here's what it looked like when we signed that three-year match agreement with Renewing the Countryside. So we were asked to connect with potential buyers. Like that last example, we helped them connect with startup of Food Hub at a school. And they didn't know anything about it ahead of time, but now they do, and now there is an agreement. We helped develop pathways with local public health. So I actually work in the public health department, and so that was a no-brainer. It works great. And then we outreach and promotions, like I mentioned before. We have the Facebook page, the website, and things like that. And then funding opportunities. So not only do we have some SHIP dollars with our contracts through my grant, we also have opportunities funneled down through Minnesota Department of Health, and so we try to get those out to the right people in our communities. I participate in monthly check-in calls that are facilitated by Three Rivers, and those are beneficial for me and our local schools. And we also work with our local food hub manager to develop an annual plan, so coordinating with the farmers market as well. So here's that trailer that SHIP helped to support the change of it into a CoolBot trailer so it could be used for the food hub work. Here's an example of where Gunderson St. Elizabeth's, that's Amy Cipolla, she's no longer there, but she applied for a SHIP grant, and it was to help start the help with the startup of FoodRx. And you can see their promotion, and there's just happens to be Sarah on the other end by that CoolBot trailer. So okay, well, there's Sarah again. How about that? So here's how we helped the farmers market. We started with you heard about the whole process, but we also helped, some things I didn't mention is we helped with nesting buckets, and we helped with the mat and a tent and signage and a scale. So all those things that you need for implementing farmers market hubs, we tried to help with as much as she could. And we're kind of figuring it out as we go. Oh, hand washing station. We were trying to figure it out as we went. We didn't know exactly what the needs were at first in 2014 or 2015 when we started the discussion. So it was a learning process along the way for both of us. And there's the school where the food was dropped off from the Farmers Market Hub. That's Mr. Sonic. He is an amazing participant. And SHIP funded that salad bar on the other end. So you can see the process there. And we were all involved, and it's very helpful to collaborate. Here we have the food shelf. This is an amazing food shelf and also part of our food access network. They have become a super shelf. And we helped with refrigeration, freezers, and this fruit and veggie display. So there's all types of opportunities to help bring fresh food into the food share. And they do She gave me my timer. I have 5 minutes left. Okay. So they do try hard to order from the hub as well, and that's amazing that the food hub has EBT so that they can serve people that are in need. So we also had have our food access network, like I talked about earlier, and our regional food bank agency had this to say about it, and it's pretty amazing. It talks about how we're all working together to make the puzzle pieces work for us all, and it's just been an amazing opportunity for us all to work together and learn from each other, and we keep track of our action items and we follow up on them. And we started meeting quarterly, but during COVID we switched to monthly, and it's been working well, so we've stuck with monthly because we're so active. Okay, so my final words are collaborate. As you can see here, we have the food share, the Wabasha food shelf, where they have become a super shelf. You can see the farmer's market logo. You can see the ship logo and the food share logo. The farmer's market actually moved into the parking lot of the food share. So this was great collaboration as well, because not only did they have that Veggie RX drive-through right through there, they had people that are coming to visit the farmer's market can learn about the food shelf, and that, you know, what the volunteer opportunities are, what they have to offer, and things like that. And then the food share can say, hey, they offer EBT, WIC, and things like that. So it's important to collaborate. And there was recently an article about how SHIP has been doing in Wabasha County. And I said, well, wait. It's not about, like, SHIP or the SHIP director. It's about collaboration. So I put this quote in the paper because I wasn't going to let it be about what SHIP is doing. Collaboration is the key to the successes we have to share. Thank you, current partners and future partners, for all you have done and all you have yet to do. So thank you. And back to Sarah.
Awesome. Thanks, Tina. So as you guys can see, there's a lot of ways that we collaborate. Each of our hubs is doing different things. And the one thing that I wanted to show you is our Farmers Market Food Hub site. And let me see if it will let me. It is not showing my screen. So if I escape from this and go here, I just want to share with you. There it is. Okay, so if you go to Farmers Market Hub,
farmersmarkethub.org, one thing that we've done, we're actually on round 4 of a hub manual, ways that you can start doing this in your community. So if you went to our website, you can go for managers and go to documents. And under documents, you're going to see live our Farmers Market Hub manual. You can see the resources that we use to build this in our community. We don't want to do this just so that we can begin making this happen in our community. When we apply for grant funding, we want to test projects out that are going to actually last, that are going to end up making a difference in communities throughout our own personal communities. But then we don't want to just drop it because the grant funding is over. We want to make it sustainable. And so you're going to see the different things we've done. Maybe it's making a cost-effective hand washing station. Maybe it's how did you start working with schools? What did you say to the licensors? All of that is listed in here. But in that very first doc is the hub manual. How do you begin making the connections in your community? And I can tell you the one thing I can say is not to do it alone. This is something, it does take a champion in a community to make it happen. And each of our communities, we're just blessed to have incredible hub managers like Allison out there working on this, really pushing. Some of our communities are only focused on retail. Some of our communities are only focused on wholesale. Some are doing both. Some are only doing Veggie RX. Some are just focused on farm to school. Some have drive-through farmers markets taking place. And some are only offering delivery options. But you know best what can happen in your community. This all started because as a farmer, I knew how hard it was to move the produce that I was growing and raising in my field and get it to the farmer's market and then have nowhere to, I had to process it. At the end of the day, I'm exhausted. I had no refrigeration. I was a beginning farmer, no refrigeration, so I would harvest in the morning with a headlamp on. I'd get to the farmer's market. I would promote the market because I'm now the market manager volunteering to manage the farmer's market. And yet, at the end of the day, I'm looking at my tomatoes going, now I have to process these or find another way to sell them. And I wanted to see if we could make local food connections in the community. When we started asking around, a lot of others were feeling the same way. So start networking in your community. Find out who's curious about beginning something like this and see ways that you can be stronger together. But don't forget about organizations like the Statewide Health Improvement Partnership or like the CARES up in Aiken that's working on it. We have the Wabasha Area Food Access Network. We have the Wabasha Area Community Resource Center. Moorhead has some support with the co-op. They're doing it through a co-op. In Wilmer, the Land Stewardship Project is working very closely with them to pull this off. Don't forget to ask other organizations what support they can give you and how to build capacity in your community. I want to show you a couple other things on our website, and then we're going to just open it up for some questions. So if you click on this homepage, you're going to be able to see each of our hubs, and these are actually live links. So I'm going to click on Grand Rapids right now. And what you're going to see if you click on Shop Now, you're going to be able to see what product is available. One of the things that makes me proud is like you can click and we're actually very transparent. You can see who the farmer is. We're showing the farmer's phone number. We're showing the farmer's email address and information about the farm. We're not trying to stop the sales. We're trying to increase the sales so that we can empower you to make those local purchases as the buyer. But if it means that we can make it easier by making it an online storefront, an online offering, then great, that's what we're going to do. We found a way to do this so we can do it for cottage food. So Minnesota, our cottage food producers are not able to sell, they have to sell direct to the consumer. But they can reserve it but not pay for it online. So we worked through some of those logistics. And then the other thing that I wanted to share on here, what else was it? So you're not going to see a lot of fruits and vegetables on it right now. Unfortunately, you know, we live in the upper Midwest, so it's awful cold. Snow peas don't grow in snow. But there will be vegetables early this year, I think. It's going to happen. I do think there's some cabbage in here. But anyhow, you guys have the gist of what's happening on the online platform. But the other thing in here that you're going to see is that we have a What We Learned section. And in this What We Learned, you can see some videos, some reports, some surveys on some of the different things that we've learned through this process, on what a difference this has made in communities. Here's a presentation from when we pivoted to COVID, the gross margin calculator, how we can get our funds, our hubs funded. But feel free to poke around there. I wanted to see if there was any questions out there from you about implementing this in your community. I'll start over here.
Yeah, I just have a couple logistical questions that come to mind. Obviously, the advantage here is you're utilizing the farmer's market, so you say you don't need a location, brick and mortar, but that means that anything that's distributed through the hub also needs to be harvested, washed, packed, brought in on the same day. And also means that who's ever receiving the food, if they're hospitals, school districts, restaurants, need to be able to receive it on that day. And I'm wondering to what extent that's been an issue and how you've resolved that.
Yeah, that's been an issue. Very good point. So the question is whether about with the farmers market hubs being at farmers markets, you're now bringing all kinds of stuff on the same day as the market. And the schools, farmers markets, my market is on a Saturday. So on a Saturday, the schools are not open and you can't get that food in there. So we have a walk-in cooler that's available on site for many of our hubs. I think six of them now have a refrigerated walk-in cooler with a cool bot. Our farmers are going to, for Red Wing, for one of my markets in Red Wing, I put the items up for what's available on Sunday morning. We open the online store on Sunday. And by Thursday at 10 p.m., the storefront closes. The farmer has all day, well, Thursday night, so Friday, all day Friday until 9 o'clock on Saturday morning to get that product in there. They can go and put it in the walk-in cooler. We have a key on the side of the walk-in cooler, and all they have to do is plug it in, and they can just bring it to the market, to the distribution site where we're going to make that, which is on site at the farmer's market. However, we want to stay legal. And so with the Minnesota licensing that we have, you can't store anything for delivery on Monday, which we do for the schools. So because our walk-in cooler is on wheels, it's on a trailer, we are holding it. And that's how we're able to make it work. We want to make sure that we definitely fall in that legal line. So we hold produce in a walk-in cooler that's on wheels so that we can make those deliveries later. Sometimes the farmers are bringing that on Friday because it makes more sense for them. They have lots to do. Each of our hubs is different. So I think, yeah, game on.
Rule guru Jane Jewett says, we're not storing food, we're staging food. Never say store. So we're really careful about that. But what I'm doing is because produce is so difficult to store for individual farmers, not only are we working on getting our a refrigerated trailer up and running that's going to be shared area for all of our members to use. We decided that we're going to have wholesale delivery on Wednesday because that gives our farmers who are doing a Saturday farmers market a second pick day. And like with green beans, I mean, you're picking green beans every day, every other day, you know, because they just get out of control. So actually that second harvest day during the week, and then to get that food out instead of having to store it on your farm, having your own infrastructure for storage is very expensive. That's why we're trying to share infrastructure for refrigeration. And we just decided that our farmers needed a second pick day. And that's Tuesday or Wednesday, and we deliver on Wednesday for wholesale. And I think it's going pretty good. And plus, restaurants want their that product before the weekend. And then it seems to work okay for the school; they don't really complain much. So, and then Saturday is like a market box day, so they do still have that extra pick for food they've already sold, so that's already guaranteed sold plus what they're bringing to the market. So did you have something? Yeah, oh, that'd be great. Did that answer your question? Okay.
Did you have a question?
Just a quick follow-up to that is, so you're placing the order or posting what's available for sale based on what gets dropped off by farmers in your shed, or is that based on how you're just projecting and they're promising to deliver?
That's a great question. The question is, are we placing the orders based on what the farmers' projections are? The farmers are adding their inventory live on our online sales platform. And they're going to say, hey, this is what is out there. That's a lesson to learn, too. Because as a farmer looking out in the field, I don't know how many pounds of kale that is. I'm not really sure if those tomatoes are going to ripen by next Saturday. And you start wondering and questioning and second guessing, but then you begin getting used to it. You get more and more familiar with it and more comfortable with it. That online way is really advantageous for our farmers, or for our buyers. And the farmers actually started really enjoying it. They don't have to move all the product that they have through the online platform. Maybe they want to keep some at the farmers market, but that's been really helpful for them.
I have a couple. I don't know if that's loud, but I had a follow-up on the storage. Do you have any farmers you work with who are certified organic, and how do you deal with them being able to store their product in a mixed-use cooler?
That's a good question. So certified organic, everybody's got different products. We ask that everybody label, individually bag, and itemize their orders together. They're going to label it, and it's going to say that this order is for Tina Moan. And she ordered, if you go to four managers and images, you can see what it looks like at a farmer's market as they're making all these bags are laid out on a table. You can see everybody's order. And so each of the farmers are going to go individually and put their order into the bag. Unfortunately, this does have a lot of plastic because every order has to be wrapped up in their own separate way. And so we're trying to figure out ways to make that happen photos at markets. If you click on the far right, photos at markets, you can look at any one of them. Yep, there you go. And you had a follow-up question.
I did. I have a lot of. I'm as a person who argues with the organic certifier about various things. I'm really curious if anyone's ever like what would happen if somebody actually started poking at that system. If you have any certified organic producers. But my other question was really about, I was actually going to ask. I'm not in Minnesota. And do you have tips for farmers in other states who might be interested in trying to replicate your system?
Yeah. So farmers, there is a specialty crop block grant in every state. This is the picture that MDA said was totally illegal. By the way, there's one of them. Don't do that. You can't have your food on the ground. It needs to be 6 inches off the ground. This was in the beginning. Every state has a specialty crop block grant. You're able to go and apply for that specialty crop block grant for increasing marketing and sales in your community. But building up, so we started this SARE grant, the Sustainable Agriculture Research and Education, so that we could research if an online sales platform made sense, or if we could do direct marketing through farmers, adding more farmers markets in our community, or if we wanted to, we had like four different ways. Should we add winter markets? So we started researching, like, what's the best way to build up farmers in our community and work together? It was an 18-month project with SARE, I think, that we worked on. And we researched 26 online sales platforms in depth to see, you know, maybe that's the way to go. And it was outstanding to be able to do that. Just finding out what grant funding is available in your community and seeing ways that you can start doing this. I absolutely would go to that online hub and find this manual, because this will guide you through starting it in your community. What are things you need to think about? And the first step isn't starting at a farmer's market. The first step explains kind of what the overview is, but from there it actually says, do a market share analysis. Do a market analysis in your community. Find out what your community is ready for, and then start building out a business plan. And here's ways you can build out a business plan. We worked with Claritas. We did Claritas in all of our communities to assess, you know, what the population was and what their income levels were. And then we started with budgets and worked our way from there. And so we walk through that whole process on our online manual so that you can, we don't want to just do this and stop there. We want others to be able to do this as well. It's made a really big impact. And it's not going to happen overnight. So our hubs the first year, I'm going to say on average is about $300 in sales that first year, just kind of starting to bump elbows with the farmers, bump elbows with the buyers, finding out what that licensing looks like and getting hand wash stations and getting tables. I didn't think about something. So in Rochester, they were doing, Rochester, Minnesota is a big community, and they were doing this online platform in 2020, and they were getting between 300 and 500 orders weekly. Things you don't think about, that's 56 tables that you needed to have. 56 tables lined up with all these orders, and we had to sort through. Every farmer would bring it in, and we're like, okay, this goes to order number 1, 2, 3, 7, 8, 9, 7. And we're like, it was overwhelming. But you start learning. And the good news is that you start small and ramp up. Like Allison said, you couldn't have done this $57,000 a year had you not started with those smaller numbers and actually got that elbow bumping done. So, yeah. Questions? Go ahead.
Thank you. I was wondering about how you, how the administrative roles are funded. Because $57,000 coming in, that's probably not compensating the administrative role. So I was wondering how that works out, because it sounds like you all have very institutionalized positions that maybe are well-funded. So I was wondering about that, and I was wondering about any thoughts of, you know, for folks who don't have those institutionalized infrastructure in their communities, how one might approach it. I was also wondering if you've seen any difference in sales between organic and non-organic, like from the those entities making larger purchases, if they might choose non-organic because maybe it's cheaper. And then I was wondering about where you brought food shelves, and if in a sentence, what is a food shelf? I can repeat it also, because it was a lot. Okay. The first one was about compensation.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Excellent question. Okay. So the first question was about compensation, and the point is that the sales that I showed, the $57,000 in sales, that's the gross sales. And so a lot of that money is passed through to farmers, right? But you'll see here that for every dollar that the farmer's getting, the hub is charging an 18% markup. So the buyer is paying $1.18. That's not enough. Grocery stores mark up at least 100% typically. But we are trying to, a lot of our communities are very rural, very poor. We showed some of that data, and so we're trying to kind of build up that tolerance for those prices. So right now, my position as the hub manager is completely grant funded, and so that 18% that we're getting is has been for supplies that the grant doesn't cover. Some mileage I can take out of that because the grant doesn't always cover all my mileage because, again, we're a very rural community. We put on more miles than Wabasha or the more metro areas. And then I have taken it to my board, and I have specifically asked my board to think about what's going to happen to this profit and how we're going to function when this grant runs out, if we don't get another grant, or does this mean that I should be more compensated more for other work I'm doing, or, you know, and a lot of it, it's the farmers market's money, and we need to decide how we're using it. It really needs to go towards sustainability, and that's something we're still working on. This is infancy for us. But that's a really great question.
And I'm going to say that we have actually worked out to Renewing the Countryside has applied for numerous grants. You see the different grants that we've received for this particular project. But another thing that we're doing is having that sustainability eye for sustainability on the backside. And with that sustainability eye, we're bringing it to the state budget. And we actually got in the governor's budget last year until the night before. I don't know who had a beer with them, but that was not what I did. We did coffee. We'll go for a beer next time. But we got into the state budget last year. I'm hoping that we can stay in the state budget, get in there, and actually be funded. And so that's a great question, because I think we're bringing a lot of value, and they're seeing it at so many levels. Your next question was about for food shelves and working with food shelves. And several of our communities work very closely with food shelves. I like Wabasha's model. They call it the food share. So they think that it's more like a potluck. Bring what you can, take what you need. And I love that. And that's how we work and collaborate with our food share in Wabasha. So our farmers market is actually in the parking lot of the food share to make it more aware of and more comfortable with the location of where you get food and to normalize that it's okay if you get food from that area. The farmer's market is right there. The food share is right there. And the farmers at the end of the day are donating to the food share. But in, well, in, you do different things in Aiken. In Red Wing, we have a wagon. Somebody from the food share comes down with food grade totes, and they pick up produce at the end of the day, and our farmers donate it. However, we have this past year said, you know what, if you can, their board just said we want to pay for that produce. But at this point, they're not ordering it online. They're taking what's left over at the end of the day. And Aiken, you got something on the food shelf?
So the first year that our food shelf was a super shelf, they had a grant to buy local food, and so they did purchase through us. But otherwise, we don't do a lot with the food shelf right now because we just don't have a lot of extra. And we're still trying to build that income stream for farmers. Like, it's so hard, you know, as a farmer to pay your mortgage on radishes. So we don't do a lot with the food shelf. I know individual farmers do, but as a hub, we don't really. We have a community meal that I know our farmers donate to. We've tried to get them to buy food from the food hub for the community meal, but they are kind of a statewide thing, and so they have to buy through their channels, and that's kind of a bummer. But that's what we've done in the past.
And we can stay and answer more questions. I'll get to yours in a second. I just want to acknowledge that it's 2:45. I know our session is over, and you had do you have questionnaires? Amazing. Thank you. I'm going to just keep go for questions, so we'll be here. Thanks, guys.
Since you're in Red Wing, I'm curious specifically, like the hospital, the public schools, what proportion of their consumption are you supplying, do you think?
That is. See, now this is where every community is different. And it's funny because in Wabasha, I was in all the schools. I was Wabasha, Kellogg, Lake City, Plainview. I was in the local Catholic school. We were serving at the hospital. In Red Wing, same person running the show. It is so much different over there. We're just starting to get into the schools. I'm in the fourth year of doing the hub in Red Wing. And we're just this year starting to get into the schools. The local cafeteria, so the hospital, they'll fund us for the Veggie RX program, and they'll give us money to help implement it in the community, but they're not putting it into their cafeteria. They don't even, and each, again, each community is different in how they're doing that. And it's crazy how every community has a little bit of a different vision. So right now, zero, honestly. But the care clinic, they're implementing that. And so we have a what's called the care clinic, which is a free clinic for members of the community that don't have access to healthcare. And they are buying these Veggie RX boxes. They're paying for them full price for these Veggie RX boxes so that they can hand out and prescribe fruits and vegetables to these individuals that lack that access. So it's hard. You saw my numbers were really low. I was counting on the LFS, the local food for schools, and the LFPA, the local food purchase assistance grant last year in Red Wing. The LFPA in Minnesota didn't roll out until really late. I just signed the contract 2 weeks ago. And Wisconsin's going into round two, aren't they? I think is. Right. No, none of it goes to the schools, but it's going to aggregators in Minnesota. And in Wisconsin, it's going direct to farmers. In Minnesota, they're only doing it through aggregators, and they just kicked those off this year. It's crazy. So, yeah. Did you have a?
I guess a few questions. So it sounds like, the grant funding is critical, but ship. So, like, if somebody starts a food hub, they need a cooler. Like, can we? And it sounds like ship is willing to do that. Will ship do that? If I start a food hub tomorrow, will ship provide a cooler so that we can keep our not store, but what was the word? Hold. Stage.
Stage. Okay, so are you in the state of Minnesota? You are. Okay, what county? Okay, sounds like you might be up north. Ramsey, okay. I can give you my business card so that I can connect you with your ship coordinator or ship coordinators, okay? So, but our process, we all have a little bit different application process. So our, I just want to make sure I'm not in the way. So our application process is that you submit an application, we keep them going on a running basis. In our county, we only have $200 left, though, for contracted funds, and our grant cycle ends in October. So a lot of other counties might, yeah, it's a grant arrangement, yes. So, yep. Any other questions?
Yeah.
I'm curious about the platform. If you can talk about, is this a platform that, the web platform, is it something that already existed? Was this customized in any way? Are you happy with it? And how much does it cost?
That's fantastic questions. So I went through the SARE grant to research different platforms, and we had 26 of them. I have an amazing spreadsheet that or document that shows the 26 platforms. We chose Local Orbit for the platform that we were going to use. Local Orbit got absorbed by bought out by a gentleman in Hawaii, and he's like, "This is so exciting! We're going to do this." And then Local Line absorbed his business. Local Line actually had told us that they are used to aggregators, but Local Line was built for individuals. And when it's for an individual, there's a big difference than working with aggregation. So having all the farmers on one platform where they could make one purchase. Think about it like some of those farmers markets in 2020 where all the individual farmers had their own online store, and you could go to the market, but you'd have your pre-ordered stuff ready. So Local Line was great, but painful. And so we switched to Open Food Network in 2022. And Open Food Network is an open source platform where the farmers can add their product. However, so it's $750 for the year for Open Food Network, which is a decent price. One thing after doing all the research on online sales platforms that I found is that you think of it as a triangle. So you have farmers, you have managers, and you have buyers that are all utilizing the platform. And I have found that every single one of them are amazing for two of those three people. So you want to see, like, if it's amazing for your farmer and amazing for your buyer, but it's horrible for your manager, or do you want it to be amazing for your buyer and amazing for your manager but horrible for the farmer? Or do you want it to be amazing for the farmer and, you know, I mean, which way do you want it? What's your choice? Open Food Network has been the probably easiest to use for both farmers and buyers. It's complicated when you're aggregating as a manager. And I say that because we can see when the buyers make a payment, but if we can't. There's no place for us to record when we paid our farmer. There's no place for us to record that they got paid. There's no dates on your reports when you're printing reports, and we're working with them. I'm actually on the Open Food Network board right now to check that. Because we've been doing this for so long, and I'm so invested into Open Food Network and online sales and aggregated sales, so. Online platforms can be a headache. They're amazing and awful all at the same time. When we did that SARE grant in 2017, we were going to build our own platform. And one of the things that SARE asks you in their grant application is, Are there other projects that you see us having funded already that are similar to what you're doing? And there was like three or four that were building their own platform and gave up. And we're like, oh, let's like research what's out there before we try and build our own. Because it just takes so long and it's so complicated. There's just so many details behind the scenes. So we decided not to build our own and start from the ground up. There are still individuals out there working on building them from the ground up. I cringe. I'm hopeful. I'm sure it's going to get advanced because people are used to ordering online. I do think of us on our online sales platform as the Amazon of local foods, and that makes me pretty proud. You know, I mean, that's what we're doing. You go online, you say what you want. You can choose which farmer you're going to get it from. I heard the organic question over here earlier, like, how do I know if I want to get this from an organic farmer? You're choosing which farmer you're going to go with, and you're going to make that that choice yourself. Not necessarily able to pick out the bunch of carrots that you're going to get out of that box, but you know which farmer is providing those carrots and what their consistency is like.
So Iowa Food Hub, or they do everything with spreadsheets.
Uh-huh. I saw that face.
And, you know, there's drawbacks to that too, but also then they are getting exactly what they want because they're just using spreadsheets. And somehow it's working. It seems really intimidating to me. I don't even know. They're on one of our monthly sort of brainstorming calls, and her name is Teresa, right? And so she kind of walked us through what they do, and we were really all very amazed. They move a lot of food, and they've been doing it for a while too, right? Like, yeah, but they just use spreadsheets. There's none of them are perfect. There's aspects of all of them that will give you a headache. And maybe you want to build your own spreadsheet, and maybe that's okay too. I wanted to answer your question about Cooler. If you're in Minnesota, there's something called the Good Food Access Program, and that's through the MDA. And that's available to farmers markets and other food retailers that accept SNAP. So that's why Aiken Farmers Market was able to get that grant for our coolers, because we're a farmers market that accepts SNAP. With the hub, somebody asked me this at lunch, and as far as like produce farmers, I've got like five main produce farmers that I do a lot of buying from. And then I have like some kind of one-off, like they just like, I have one guy that is just getting into apples and all his apple trees matured. And so I bought apples from him, like a lot of apples, but like that's all he had, you know. But like for produce, I've got four or five major farms and then a lot of smaller farms. Farmers market vendors that just have a little bit extra that I can still purchase from. And then for protein farmers, I've got one, two, three, like four major protein farmers. And then again, a couple that I can just buy like all of their product all at once for a school, and then they're sold out. Good Food Access Program. It's through the MDA.
Department of Agriculture.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. That's to join our monthly calls. Is anybody interested in aggregating?
If anybody's interested in aggregating, they're able to join our food aggregation listserv and hear not only what grant funding is available, but what other communities are doing nationwide. So we're having Sarah Lloyd speak from the Wisconsin Food Hub. We've had Teresa speak from the Iowa Food Hub. We have a National Food Hub. Noelle is going to talk from the National Food Hub group. So we can learn from other aggregators what's working, what's not working, how can we benefit each other and value the work that's being done, because this is hard. It's hard work, and we want to make it happen in our community. I have 55 farmers in Red Wing. Now in Wabasha, not nearly as many. Grand Rapids has a lot. And actually, if you went to our platform, so you can see our online platform, I'm going to go all the way up to the top. Sorry, that's really bad to look at. Sorry. But you can click on producers. You can actually see the producers we're working with, how many of them in each community. You can click on the producers and learn about them, see what they have. Of course, he has nothing listed. Why would that not surprise me? So I'll click on Allie Cat over here. She's got stuff going. So this is Allison, and you can find Allison and her email on here. You can see information about Allison's farm. But you can see any of these on every one of our hubs. Like I showed you, all of these are listed on our homepage on our website. So, excellent. Good questions, guys. Thank you.
$57,000, $10,000 went back to the hub to help to kind of pay for all the supplies, expenses.
That was the 18%. So a lot of that's for, I mean, we buy supplies that the grant doesn't cover.
Boxes for packing.
Transportation. But otherwise, like, yeah, we need to figure out what to do with that $10,000. And it might, you know, go into an online platform if our grant doesn't pay for a platform, you know. So it's expenses like that. So here, Sarah can tell you what this is.
Yeah, so for my SARE grant, we oversaw and looked at all of those online sales platforms. These were the top eight that we chose. And there's some reasons why and what makes it easier user-friendly. But on the second page, you actually see some of the different research that I did. This is spring of 2018, so this is way outdated. Anytime it's a computer program, it's going to be way outdated. But you can click on these links. The one thing that I did here, and if anybody wants this, come and take my card. I'll email it to you. But you can click here to see a review of our online sales platform. This is my gut check, okay? So this is what did Sarah feel like when she went in there and worked on these. I met with all of these hours and hours at a time. And how does it look? What did I like? What didn't I like? How did it work for us? And then also, I wanted to share with you, when you're thinking about online sales platforms, there's a tech guide for food hubs available. There's an online video that promotes online hubs. There's also the local food tech landscape, and that dinner kit was really interesting. So I just have resources. It's a one-page flyer, front and back, but it's full of links, so it doesn't make any sense to hand it out at all. But email that to me, and I'll just request this online sales platform chart. National Farmers Market Coalition has emailed this out numerous times. Washington State has used this many times. It's a SARE resource, so if you Googled Lake Pepin SARE grant, you can pop this bad boy up. It'll come right up. They've handed it out many times. It's being used today. I'm embarrassed about it because it's, you know, 2018. Think of how much your computer changes in a couple years, but... Amen. Yep.